بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سيدة شعر بعرف الله حضرت أفضل سيدة مولانا شاه حكيم محمد أخطر صاحب نور الله مرقده The title is سكون دل در مجلس إهن دل سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں کسے غم جا نہ دل سناؤں کسے میں زخم جگر دکھاؤں سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں کسے غم جا نہ دل سناؤں کسے میں زخم جگر دکھاؤں یہ دنیا والے وفا کی قیمت سے بے خبر ہے یہ دنیا والے تو بے وفا ہے وفا کی قیمت سے بے خبر ہے پھر ان کو دل دے کہ زندگی کو جفا سے آہنگ کیوں بناؤں پھر ان کو دل دے کہ زندگی کو جفا سے آہنگ کیوں بناؤں سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں یہ بت جو محتاج ہے سراپا غلام ان کا بنو تو کیوں کر یہ بت جو محتاج ہے سراپا غلام ان کا بنو تو کیوں کر غلام کا بھی غلام بن کر میں اپنی قیمت کو کیوں گھٹاؤں غلام کا بھی غلام بن کر میں اپنی قیمت کو کیوں گھٹاؤں سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں یہ مانا ہم نے چمن میں خوش رنگ گل سے بلبل ہے مست و شیدا یہ مانا ہم نے چمن میں خوش رنگ گل سے بلبل ہے مست و شیدا مگر نشے من جو عرضی ہو تو اس کو مسکن کیوں بناؤں مگر نشی من جو عرضی ہو تو اس کو مسکن میں کیوں بناؤں سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب جی جن بھی جاؤں مجھے تو اخجل سکون دل کر ملا تو بس اہل دل کے در پر مجھے تو اخجل سکون دل گر ملا تو بس اہل دل کے در پر تو ان کے در کو میں اپنا مسکن کمی میں دل سے نہ کیوں بناؤں تو ان کے در کو میں اپنا مسکن کمی میں دل سے نہ کیوں بناؤں سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں کسے غم جا نہ دل سناؤں کسے میں زخم جدھر بھی جگر دکھاؤں سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام علی عباد الذین اصطفى. اما بعد, this beautiful bayan put in poetic form of our honorable and illustrious Dada Sheikh Ali Billah, Rumi of Waqt Tabriz Zamana, Mujaddid Zamana, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, who has taught us so beautifully the reality of life, and that is to gain the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and only when a person has that, then what the whole world is looking for, peace, happiness, contentment, only lies in gaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where to get that also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't just left us in the lurch that we should look for it ourselves. Allah ta'ala has taught us, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Rabbul Izzat sends down this peace, tranquility, the special nur of the love of Allah ta'ala in the hearts of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you come to their gatherings, these majalis, these are not ordinary majalis, these are very, very great, honorable gatherings where Allah Ta'ala is sending down special sukoon, and from the heart of the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is distributed to all the hearts. So your Hazrat is teaching us that what everybody is looking for and working for it in different directions, but where it's not, we are all working there and we are landing up in all turmoil. And today 90% of the world is lost in depression, lost in stress, etc. Because what we're looking for in all the wrong places, expect to get it. Hazrat says, Sukoon e dil dar majlis e ahli dil. This peace and contentment which is called the peace of the heart. And peace is not what shaitan fools us, and the Western world will fool us, that the outward things of this world, the material things, peace is a condition of the heart. And as beautifully our pious elders in these majalis we learn, that shaitan will fool us and make us think that if you got the things of this world of comfort, you'll have comfort, you'll have peace. But beautifully, Hakimul Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has put it that Rahat aur hai, Saman Rahat aur hai. That comfort is something else. That is the condition of the heart. A person can have nothing in this world, but he has got connection with Allah. What comfort and peace he has got, all the kings in the world cannot get. And a person can have all the enjoyments of this world. Outwardly, he looks like he's enjoying himself, he's entertaining himself, but in his heart, he's got only turmoil. So Hazrat says, if you want to learn this reality, and you want this great wealth of peace and contentment, then it only lies in the majlis of Ahl-e-Dil, those who have given their hearts to Allah. They are the people who have appreciated their heart. So Hazrat says here, why tere koi thikana nahi, ke ya Rab jidhar bhi jau, ke gham, kise ghame jau wa dil sunau, kise me zakhme jigar dikau. That, O Allah, besides you, there is nowhere for me to turn to. There is no other place of refuge in today's time of turmoil, unrest, etc. Many people talking of migrating to this country, that country. You can go wherever you want to in the world. If you don't have Allah in your heart, you still have turmoil. There is no peace, there is no happiness anywhere in the world without Allah Rabbul Izzat in the heart. And when Allah Ta'ala is in the heart, you can be in the lion's den. You'll be totally at ease and happy. So Hazrat is saying, wherever I can go in the world, O Allah, if you are not with me, then I am useless. Then I am totally in a state of unhappiness. And to attain this, Hazrat says, to get this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a great effort that a person has to make. But when you come to the majlis of the friends of Allah, this effort becomes very easy. And Hazrat says, kise ghame ja wa dil sunau? Who can I really explain the pain of my heart and the pain of my soul, that how I have to make this effort to get this love of Allah Rabbul Izzat, that continuously sitting in the company of my shaykh, of the mashayikh, then only when that love of Allah penetrated my heart, what we had to go through for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody will really understand it. People who got an idea about it, they will understand. So Hazrat says, okay, the people of the world won't appreciate these, and they will regard it as fairy tales. So much so that Hazrat says, that in the path towards Allah Rabbul Izzat, how my nafs troubled me, and how I had to wound my nafs, so to say, my lover, how I had to wound it. Who can I show these pains to? Only Allah Rabbul Izzat knows that when a person really has got desire to do haram, but he tramples his nafs and he puts a dagger upon his nafs, those wounds is appreciated by Allah Rabbul Izzat. And then Hazrat says that realize this reality, that by running after the people of the world or the things of this world, you won't get what you're looking for. Why? Ye dunya wale to be wafa hai. Wafa ki qeemat se be khabar hai. That the entire world that will make you unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever it can be, your businesses, it can be women, etc., your entertainment, your sport, you will get no peace from them, because they are all disloyal. For a short while, they will make you feel that you are enjoying yourself. But after a while, if your mind opens up, then you will realize, I don't get peace in there. Even if it can be work of deen, but we are not connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then also if a person realizes that I am not really getting that real connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why the whole world, what do they know the price of loyalty? And the value of loyalty, only the people of heart, that is Ahl-e Taqwa, those who have given their hearts to Allah, sacrificed their desires for the pleasure of Allah, that heart that is full of value, only they know about it. And they will teach us the value of that. Phir unko dil dekar zindagi ko jafa se aahang kyu banao? So why should I be so foolish and give my heart to the people of this world? In this way I'm actually causing oppression to myself, and I'm causing harm to myself. And in this way, my life becomes totally bitter. As Allah Ta'ala mentions clearly, وَمَنْ عَرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَوْ مَعِيشَةً ظَنْكَ. Whoever doesn't turn a blind ear, a deaf ear, a blind eye to what Allah Ta'ala has reminded us over and over in the Qur'an Kareem, and that we will get in these majalis of the Ahlullah, a person who doesn't take heed to that, Allah Ta'ala says, we will give you a very straitened life, a difficult life. You can have all the wealth in the world, you won't have an enjoyable life. So Hazrat is explaining that why should I put myself into this problem? I put myself into difficulty. And all the things of this world, Hazrat has explained it so beautifully and put it in one word, ye bud, jo motaj hai sarapa, gulam unka banu to kyu kar. The entire world, whether it can be your big businesses, the conglomerates, whether you are a very big CEO in any corporate company, whatever, these are all artificial idols. They look like they can do something for you, but it's same like that person standing in front of his dead idol and begging for help. So all these things, if we put our trust in there, then Hazrat says, all these idols of yours, They are totally dependent. That they are all slaves of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So, ghulam ka bhi ghulam bankar, main apni qeemat ko kyun ghatau? So, why I should become a slave of a slave? When Allah made me a royal slave, I am the slave of Allah Rabbul Izzat, the kings of kings. Why should I become the slave of the things of this world? Slaving for my business, no time for my salah, etc. Slaving for other artificial enjoyment and illicit affairs, even worse, Allah Ta'ala save us. Hazrat says, you are just lowering your value, and if you don't realize, you'll become totally disgraced. And then Hazrat beautifully explains that why generally we run after the things of this world, because of our short-sightedness, the eyes of the heart are not open, so with the eyes of the of your head, what you are seeing, ye mana humne chaman mein khush rang, gul pe bulbul hai mashq wa shaira. That, yes sir, we understood that nightingale, you put him in a nice beautiful cage and you put all mirrors and you put a swing, he thinks it's very beautiful and enjoyable. So artificially Allah Ta'ala has beautified artificially the world. If the eyes of the heart are not open, then with the eyes of the head, you are just looking at the artificial beauties of this world. But Hazrat says, remember, the reality of this is, magar nasheman jo arzi ho, to usko maskan mein kyu banau? This artificial cage of yours, and the nest that they have beautified, this is just temporary. For a few minutes you are in this world, and why are you turning towards this artificial entertainment? All the bright lights, which in reality only haram entertainment there, you are going to call. Why should you make that your place of abode? How can you be so foolish? And that is why we find we get so scared that I mustn't get the virus, I will die, what will happen? Because all these artificial places of entertainment, we are making that our dwelling. Whereas that is not our home. There is no peace in there, there is no enjoyment. So Hazrat beautifully teaches us at the end, that how did I find reality of life? And where will you find reality of life? That this artificial world won't attract you and won't distract you. Mujhe to akhtar sukune dil gar mila to bas ehle dil ke dar pe. Hazrat is giving us this lesson of his life. How many years he spent in the company of the friends of Allah. Then taught the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, friends, if I ever got peace and contentment of my heart, then I only got it in these majalis of the Ahle Dil. When I came in these majalis with a sincere intention to gain that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I only found it there. Then if I found it there and I made it my purpose and object of my life, with the firmness of my heart, I never used to miss a majlis of my Shaykh. So, I'm encouraging you people also, to unke dar ko main apna maskan samime dil se na kyu banau? Then why shouldn't I make their majlis my place of abode? In other words, the moment I get an opportunity to be in the company of my Shaykh and in these majalis, with the firmness of my heart, this should be my place and this should be my real home. Because from here we will be transferred into the home of Jannat. where Allah Ta'ala will say, فَدْخُلِي فِي ibadi, that you learn from my friends how to bring peace in your heart. Now meet my friends, and then you'll enter everlasting Jannat, which is that place of real peace and contentment. Allah grant it to us all out of His
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihi al-Karim. Amma ba'd. Bring the chapter on the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the one who will be the noblest amongst people on the day of Qiyamah and the closest to Allah Ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those men and women who remember Allah in abundance. Someone asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about the one who wages jihad in the path of Allah Ta'ala? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who engages in constant dhikr of Allah Ta'ala is superior in rank to the one who wages jihad. Even if he fights so vehemently against the kuffar and mushrikeen that his sword breaks, and even if he is dyed red in color. Note, the reason for the superiority of the zakir over the mujahid is obvious. Jihad is waged purely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, just as wuzu is performed for the sake of salah. In the ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, the believers are those who establish salah, and we grant them power on earth. The basis of jihad is just dhikrullah. This being the actual aim, its superiority should be apparent. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything has a polish, and the polish of the heart is the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shaitan sits glued to the heart of man. When man makes the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, shaitan moves off. When man is negligent, then shaitan cast evil whisperings in man. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not increase speech other than dhikrullah, because much speech besides dhikrullah hardens the heart. The furthest from Allah Ta'ala is one with a hard heart. The essence of the above three hadith cited above is that actual purity of the heart is by means of righteous deeds, and hardness of the heart is the result of evil acts. The basis of both form of deed is the intention of the heart, while the origin of intention is in the mind. Reduction in zikr brings about the introduction of satanic thoughts in the mind. This in turn leads to evil intentions. Pious intentions are then removed. Instead of practicing righteous deeds, evil is committed. Abundance of zikrullah blocks the entry of evil thoughts. This in turn does not allow evil intentions to assert themselves. One then abstains from sin and engages in righteous deeds. Hardness of heart is thus eliminated and purity is inculcated. The state of purity of the heart is not automatically acquired, but requires effort and striving. To be contented with only zikr without striving against the lowly desires is only self-deception. So you can't only remain on zikr only. A person has to fight against the nafs, but zikrullah helps to a great extent to control the desires. Sayyid Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are many people reclining on comfortable beds and making the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala on earth. Allah will grant them elevated ranks in the akhirat. It should not be imagined that material possessions of comfort, wealth and luxury are negatory of dhikrullah. Such possessions too are favors of Allah Ta'ala. Those who have these luxuries should not abstain from dhikrullah. They too should be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala while enjoying the comforts of the bounties which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon them. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, engage in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala in such abundance that people comment that you are mad. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, engage in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala in such abundance that the hypocrites comment you are a pretender. They accuse you of making zikr just because you want to show people you are pious. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people of Jannah will not grieve over anything but the moments in which they did not engage in zikrullah while they were on earth. They will regret for such wasted moments. This type of regret will not be similar to regret of this world. It will not cause hardship or sorrow. An explanation of zikr in general has been given so far. In the ahadith, I mentioned many forms of dhikr as well, special forms. For such specific forms of dhikr, great reward has been narrated. Some simple forms of special zikrs are mentioned here. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. As it rises to the ending, never be negligent of zikrullah, be it in a special form of zikr or any zikr in general. Zikr can be made at any time or at a specific time fixed to suit one's convenience. Any number of times zikr can be made. Zikr may be used, may be made by using either the fingers or a tasbih. Zikr may also be made at many times, at all times, without the use of a tasbih. The main purpose is to be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. There are certain du'as which have to be recited on special occasions. Such du'as should be learnt. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice accordingly.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها 4 حرم ذلك الدين القيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Today we are already now in the second of Muharram of the new Islamic year. We just finished the old Islamic year with the month of Zulhijjah, and this is the new Islamic year. We should be much more aware, conscious that we have entered into the new Islamic year. But each one of us ask ourselves, how much are we aware of that? When it's the end of December, beginning of January, who is not aware that it's that time? Even a critically sick person we find, an old lady, old man who are bedridden, they will also know now this year is finished, December is finished, the new year, January has started. We are Muslims. Our identity and with what we should identify ourselves with, all Islamic values, how much of us are really conscious. And there are sunnah du'as also to be read. And the buzurgs have written du'as, and there are sunnah du'as also to be recited. But how much are we really conscious of these times? That the 1 year has ended, and we have entered into a new year. On that we should say, how much is our affiliation with our deen? Like that, it is very nice, and we all like to think, I'm a good Muslim. And usually we will find fault with other Muslims, other people, that they don't make namaz or whatever else, weaknesses within them. But seldom do we think of our own weaknesses. And how many weaknesses, if I don't even identify myself with the Islamic calendar, then I should think, how weak am I? And this Islamic calendar that we have got, we all know, we call it the Hijri calendar, which is based on the Hijrat. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his time of Khilafat, and he was such an administrator also, besides all his other qualities, one of his great qualities of administration, of running the government, unparalleled in history, east and west of the world, the modern and the ancient world, what Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with, Allah had given him great, great insight. If we have to, Allah give us all tawfiq, myself first, and we study the life of Hazrat Umar and his rulership, we will see what things he had established in his time. For example, the Maktab Madrasa system is also from his time. Pension is also from his time. In his time, stray animals, cats, etc., were also, allowance was fixed to look after them also. Unimaginable things, what in the time of Hazrat Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had established. Today, even socialist governments which are social, that is, they consider the public, etc., all the basis is in the teachings of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Anyway, Hazrat Umar in all that felt also that the Muslims must have their own specific calendar also. We shouldn't be following any other calendar. And for that then, he made mashura with the Sahaba, that from when should our calendar start? All gave their different views, and this is all in accordance with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati khulafai rashideen, or kama qala alayhi salatu wa sallam. Keep firmly, hold on firmly to my sunnah and the sunnah, the practices of my khulafai rashideen. The four khulafa, what they had established, that status is also very, very high. So, then all gave their different views, like for example, from the time of the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The Christian calendar or the Gregorian calendar, that is from the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And today the year 2021 is 2021 years have passed since Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So that was an important occasion also, the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But that also was not accepted. The time of the revelation of the Quran Sharif, that was also suggested. That was also a very great occasion when changed the whole condition of the world. Many suggestions were put forward. But finally what was accepted was the time of the hijrat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. When he made hijrat from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Sharif, that was the time that was fixed. And this is then a great lesson for us, that whenever the new year comes, we should also think of the hijrat. And to make hijrat, to migrate. Which actually in Shariat is that a person leaves a place where he cannot practice his deen, and he goes to a place where he can practice his deen. Migration and this hijrat must not be for worldly from worldly matters. That we find that our world is now, our dunya is we're in jeopardy. That yeah, there is now too much rioting, looting, we don't know, very unstable the country is, and we make hijrat for that. That is no hijrat in Islam. Islam is for the sake of deen that is called hijrat. So this hijrat, and in Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said that the biggest hijrat, the more greater hijrat, al-muhajir, the actual muhajir, the actual one who makes hijrat, man hajara ma naha Allahu an, who makes hijrat from those things which Allah has prohibited him from. So to abandon our evil way of life, and one aspect of our wrong things that we are doing, that we are not identifying with Islam, as we should be identifying. Like we don't know the old year has ended, new year has started. Similarly, each one of us ask ourselves, do I know my birthday, Islamic birthday? How many of us will know our Islamic birthday? Whereas that actually, as a Muslim, that I should know. But our English date of birth, everyone without a second thought, we will know our English date of birth. Our Islamic date of birth, how many of us are aware of it? And we should be aware. We should now try, go and find out. And there are calculations which are available. Just go on to that and calculate and find out. And then try and remember it. We bring it. It will be our ethos, our way, our everything of ours should be Islamic. Many of us, as our normal position is, that we will blame our parents that when I was born, how could I know my date of birth? If my parents didn't record it. But we can find out also. Anyway, how many of us know our Islamic date of date of marriage? At that time we were fully baligh, completely. Physically also we were already matured. Mentally we matured, we were in a position to get married. Now who are we going to blame? And how many of us know our Islamic date of our marriage? So it shows that all our things, all our internal affairs, business matters also, internal affairs which is just between us, we should know the Islamic date. but we will only use the English state. On one occasion, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haqsab Rahmatullah Ali, a great, great wali of Allah, was coming to visit our country just before Shaban, that is, the month before Ramadan. And usually in our Darul Ulums, we have our annual Jalsa at that time, usually in Shaban. So when we thought, when we realized, and in fact one principal of one of our madrasas asked me and told me that Hazrat is coming and it's only right we should invite Hazrat to our Jalsa. And the right thing is we should go personally there to Hardoi, to India, and invite. The actual correct thing is that. But since time is so limited and now we have come to know, let us write a letter. You people also write, we will also write. So we wrote on our reply, Hazrat, then on our emblem of the madrasa, we had the logo with the Quran Sharif on a rahel open. So Hazrat first drew our attention to that, that on the rahel, the not the desk, the rahel that comes in the madrasa, also other places, only the Quran Sharif should be kept on that. No other kitab. So this is a Quran Sharif. And your picture shows that it is open. And to leave the Quran Sharif open when nobody is reading is also disrespect to the Quran Sharif. So he drew our hand. The humbleness that he did his duty of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. And he wrote also, if I am in error, inform me, I will appreciate it. And if it is correct what I am saying, accept it and make amal accordingly. So he then, with regard to one other madrasa, he wrote that they only wrote the English date. And he says that, why didn't you write the Islamic date? And he says, it is my opinion also, had you written the Islamic date, since you only wrote the English date, that you should have written it under the English date, which speaks volumes of our affiliation, our identifying ourselves, where we belong to. So these are not small things, they are very, very big things. Quran Sharif says, وَتَحْتَبُونَهُ هَيِّنَا. You regard this as small matters. And many people say, they are too petty on all the small things. Well, Allah says, we can say it's petty. Allah says, تَحْتَبُونَهُ هَيِّنَا وَهُوَ عِنَّ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. But it is very big matters by Allah. And it is these small matters that reach big, big matters. In fact, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Kandilwi, Rahmatullah Ali, in one of his great, great bayans, every bayan of Hazrat was inspired, used to speak. It wasn't really a person of this dunya speaking. In there he said, when we don't we don't invite towards the deen, and we don't make effort for deen, and for deen to come alive in our lives, in that aspect also, each one of us think, how much today did I make effort for deen to become alive in me? It isn't only when I go for gush, or I go for 3 days, or it isn't only when I'm teaching and that, but to bring deen in my life. What additional effort did I make today to bring deen in my life? And when we don't make that effort, then deen starts going out of a person's life. And when deen doesn't just go out of the life, the minute a little bit of deen is gone out, it's not a vacuum there. But be-deeni, bad-deeni will come in its place. Anti-deen will come in its place. Bid'at will come. Kufriyat will come. Shirkiyat will come. And he also explained that first deen will go out from our adab, our etiquette of doing things. And with regard to all this, this is all part of etiquette, Islamic identification. So when this has gone out, there wasn't a vacuum, the English state came. And that comes with all its effects also. If we have Islamic dates, it will have an effect on us also. It will make us conscious of our deen also. When it is all the Islamic, the English state, it will have that effect on us. So that will go out. Then after the adab, akhlaq will change, our character. Today our akhlaq, for example, on many things. We will drink a cup of tea. How many of us will feel it that it's good character to leave a little bit, to show I'm not so greedy? And the correct way is to completely to drink everything. no wastage. When we are eating in our plate, how much of food is still left, and we just that would plate is then taken away like that. How much of meat is left on the bones? We don't take the trouble of cleaning the bones also. All that is wastage. So then the way of the wasters, the israf, that will come into our lives. In everything, when we give up Islamic dress, then we're not going to stay naked, then we're going to be wearing the clothing of anyone else besides Muslims. If it is a Muslim dress, then it could be anyone else's dress we will. And dressing has got 100% effect on us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so much he stressed on dressing also. And for example, that wear clean clothes. And as long as your clothes are clean, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged white for men. And as long as you are wearing a white clean cloth, that clothing of yours is reading tasbih also. And then when it becomes dirty, then that tasbih is gone. That is what is now what was a sunnah dress. But when we are wearing the clothing of the non-Muslims, and whatever way we now copy them, we make the shabbo with them, all that effects are going to come on us all the time. So in every aspect, with this new year coming, let us also make some determination to change ourselves, to bring Islamic. And not only that, in our dressing, then we find we have gone out more and more. That, for example, at one stage, before the new South Africa, I was going to Krugersdorp Masjid for Jummah Namaz. There was no imam there. There were very few Muslim people because all had moved out with the apartheid. They had come to mostly to Azadwal, to other places. But the shops were still there. Businesses were still there. So there was they didn't have a full-time imam there because it didn't warrant it also. And so the musallis were also very few. All the five times musallis were very, because nobody was. It wasn't the time. Now we've got a lot of foreigners in the country. At that time there weren't all these foreigners also. So it was like the masjid was like empty. So one Jummah that I went and I spoke about dressing. So one person came to me and he told me, Maulana, the next week speak again on the same subject. So I asked him why. So he said, this past Saturday, one person for Zohar Namaz, very few people, there were no imam. So one person came and they put him in front. And when he went in front, he had a t-shirt with a naked woman's picture on the back. This is how unconscious we become of our dressing. Not only we start wearing that type of dressing, but he's making imamat. And there are jubbas in the masjid. He didn't even wear the jubba. A short sleeve t-shirt and with a naked woman's picture on the back, and he's making imamat in the masjid. This is we don't. What Allah says, "Wa huwa 'inda Allahi 'azim." It looks small to you, but it is very, very big. And all these things. But unfortunately, for some of us, even that will be you are being petty. It's a small thing also. But a person who has got an outer of iman in the heart will realize these are not small things, but very big things. Then we find all the things. Today, how many logos on our dressing we have got. Some people have got of the various soccer teams also, overseas teams. And there are certain teams, or their logos are sheer kufriyat. There is kufr, pure kufr. Many motor cars, the Alfa Romeo, for example, its whole what it has got, its what do you call it? Logo, or the sign there. There is also a lot of kufr, but we are not aware of it. For our clothing, which is quite common, this Nike or Nike, whatever we call it, this is also, it is the Jewish, a Greek goddess of victory. It is worn mostly on sports clothing, because according to them, that God, the goddess, the female god, will give you victory. Now, for us to wear that, even if we're not wearing it, definitely a Muslim won't wear it with that intention. Just like, for example, to put a cross, hang it on our, a Muslim will never do that. But the tie is the same thing. And just picture the tie and picture the cross. The tie that is round and then hanging down. And once when Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi Gangohi, was asked that a person wears a tie but not with the intention of a cross. So he said that is even worse. That one is, they have made their thing so common that we are wearing it and we are wearing it in namaz also. How many of us, there are people making namaz with ties. Allah forgive us all for all our errors. We are with the tie. So, and we are not even conscious that it is the culture of another nation. So unconscious we have become. We are in a coma really. We are so worried of a person who is in a coma, who is sick. But we are also in a coma. We are in a worse coma. And a coma that we don't even regard as a coma. But we are also fully in a coma of living a Western way of life. So this the tie also. So this night, it is that Greek goddess. We cannot imagine anyone who will make namaz with, like the Hindus, the idols they worship, a picture of that on your clothing, on your topi, like especially the warm clothing that we wear in winter, hats, etc. They also got the Nike sign. Whether it's the tick or whether it is the Nike written, it is the same thing. And it is in the, and we're making sajda on that also. Or there are those hats that it is on there also. And the same people, they were those people who made the Nike people, with the shoes with the name of Allah written at the bottom. These are the same people. They had one signboard of this which they had everywhere, a basketball player, and calling him Allah. And we still supporting them. And we are unconscious. We are in a coma. We don't know. And a coma, a person doesn't know what is happening. We are in a spiritual, a religious coma. We don't know what is happening. How sick aren't we? And we don't need treatment also. We not even are making tawbah. We're not coming for treatment. We're not going in jamaat. We're not taking any treatment because we're all right. How sick is that person and how dangerous is his condition? The person in a coma health-wise, the most will happen, he'll die. But the person is in coma, in serious, in the dini-wise, he's not going to die. He's going to be awoken at the time of mort. Then he will be taken out of his coma. And then he will see Malakul Maut in front of him. His doctor will come, and like the doctors today, what we're hearing things that they are killing patients in the hospital, he will give you your Maut and send you then to Akhirat. And then the other two doctors will come, Munkar and Nakir. Then you will be, you won't have died now, you'll have woken up. And now you will see the consequences. Allah save us all. Amen. Allah protect us all. And today we all have to be worried of our own selves. Our own conditions are such we have to worry about ourselves. Worry about our family. Whether it's myself, whether it's my wife, whether it's my daughter, my son. Everyone, we don't know who is going to just flip and go in the wrong direction. And we don't know who are still making namaz, they are still obedient to us. But what's filled in their head and what's filled in their heart, the kufriyat and the shirk and the love of these things, the love of this night, the love of all these things, how much it's filled within us. And then even, so this is all their way. Another very common thing in this clothing which we don't think of, and many, many good people, but because we are not conscious of, is this K-way. This K-way. Maulana Yunus Daya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he told me once, the first time I saw some of our friends wearing, it struck me that this doesn't look right, but we don't know what it is, so we just kept quiet. But there is something not right here. So he explained to me one day he had it on. And a friend of his told him, Maulana, what are you wearing today, Maulana? So he said, why? He says, this here. He says, go and see on the internet, see K-way, go and check up for ourselves, those who want to go and check up. That it's an international company also, and the South African company also. The South African company, they sponsored one whole war against the Arabs. the whole expenses they gave to Israel to fight against the Arabs. So this is what they are doing. And then the international company, if you go there, you will see that they celebrated the biggest celebrations, most huge celebrations that took place of the millennium change, when from 1999, when we came into 2000, now the millennium change. The biggest celebrations in the world were at the pyramids in Egypt. And all this, what they have got, the Abrahamic faith which they want to bring, and it all belong to one. They all, it's all part of that same thing. And they had their celebrations there. And so therefore, with the K-Way has got that pyramid sign. But you don't just make it out also. They camouflage it in such a way that you don't even really realize it. So it is all that. And they are celebrating that pyramid with all the pharaohs which are in there. All this Jewish people and the pharaohs and all these people, all that they are celebrating. So in this way, when a person doesn't become conscious, when he give up sunnat, it won't be just giving up sunnat. It will have to be replaced with something. And then a person, we read in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala explains that about Bani Israel, for about half a supara, Allah Ta'ala explained, whenever they gave up one command of Allah, then it was a thing that was a thing of shaitan that came in. And then that thing grew and grew and became strong. And so much so, they became so audacious then, that they told that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, lan nu'mina bika. We won't even believe in you, O Musa. Openly they told the Nabi in front of him, we won't believe in you also. So a person goes to this extent. So when a person, many times we think there is a small matter, it doesn't matter, but it goes bigger. It comes to the stage where a person becomes so bold also. Shaitan wasn't also shaitan. He was Azazil. And what a great abid he was. And how lot of knowledge also he had. And how much of marifat of Allah also he had. But he also, when this pride that was lurking within him, and he did not treat it. And then finally it brought him where he did not make sajda. Then now he calls himself God, and he made all mini gods also. And he makes us now believe in him also, that we must follow his way. So all these things, it's very important that we bring Islamic culture within us. So when the adab and the akhlaq will go, akhlaq generally of us have gone. We follow the akhlaq, the character of the Western people. Whatever they, a person wants to get married also, few of us, that we will find out from some ulama or get some Islamic kitabs which are available. That, for example, how to spend the first night, how to treat the wife, how to live with the wife. But there are more than enough in the bookshops, in the CNAs and all the other bookshops. How many of us will go for that and we follow those things, what they teach in their things, and in, according to that we do. We should follow our Islamic way in everything. So all our akhlaq also, our adab, our akhlaq, and then it comes on to other things also, so much so that today we are giving preference to their things over the commands of Allah Ta'ala. And we are proving it right also. And we feel that is now the absolute thing. And that is the way of the atheist scientists, for example. The government laws, by force they force you, that is a different matter. But just voluntarily, that we close our masjids voluntarily. And not only that, that proudly we announce 5 days before the government, we close the masjid. So, and the consciousness of the evil of that action also goes out of a person. That we close the masajid. And that the masajid are a place which have to be open. And the duty of a mutawalli is to facilitate the ibadat of Allah, not to close the masjid. So all these things go in that direction. So anyway, this is now the time that we should reflect on our condition it gives us. And this is not only end of the year and the beginning of the year, but on a daily basis. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was completely pure and clean. There is no love. Forgive us to even speak or in this line. You can't think of anything wrong with Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, mistakes. Or it's out of the question. He was what a great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. But he says, I make more than 70 times a day istighfar. Various reasons are given by the ulama that why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made is the one who was to teach the ummah that when he was pure of any blemish, anything that can be anything like that, but he used to, how much do we make istighfar? How many of us who make 100 times a day istighfar, which is our basic duty to be doing, to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness? How many of us are regular with it? Those of us who think we are regular, if we really check, how regular are we? Just a small little pretext of something that comes in between, and we miss out on our wazaif. We miss out on our ma'amulat, and we are not doing that. So we have to be making tawbah istighfar and bring a pure Islamic way of life within us. Our weddings way gone, way out. What are called in our, what are done according to sunnah. Today, you have sunnah, a walima, for example. We have a walima. And that also today, we find that walima also, we find so many loopholes. That just after the nikah, the boy and girl just meet for a little while. Now walima. Whereas the actual thing is, they should spend the night together. Walima should be at the boy's place. The boy now is sharing that also. And all we find dalil for this also. Whereas the actual correct thing is so clear and so clear cut what it is. Before all, we didn't know about walima. Some of us might find it surprising, but there was when we were still young, there was never ever a walima that we entered, that we attended, or there was never ever a talk of a walima. It was a reception at the bride's house. That was the wedding. That at the whole reception at the bride, whereas there is supposed to be nothing at the bride's place, no entertainment whatsoever at the bride's place. There are certain exceptions, the groom's party coming from very far, etc. But now, but that time that was the norm. And there was no question of walima. Eh? So alhamdulillah, by effort of deen, it has come. But now again, we are going back again. And we now just renaming it. And that is a serious thing also, to rename the things of deen. It is still that wedding reception we are having, but we're calling it a walima now with the little loopholes that we find. Yeah, and there are some leeways we find. So the original Allah give us all tawfiq and let us make a firm determination to bring complete Islamic ethos, way of life within us. And if we will look, we'll see how far we are gone. And even if we start with one thing for a year also, Allah in His mercy will take us very far, and the whole of deen will come into our lives. Allah give us all tawfiq.